Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to bring in Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland, who's with us. Coach, 4 weeks from today, doesn't it always sneak up on us? Or would you say, heck no, I'm always, it's always on my radar. What is it like for you right now?
Well, yeah, it definitely gets on us after the new year. But, you know, really as soon as finals end for us is kind of when the countdown starts and guys go home for the break. But we give them their programs to be on and to make sure that they come back in shape. So we start counting as soon as they head back. About day 60 is when we start counting out.
Yeah, and I guess it's 28 days. So basically a month ago is like you're saying day 60. But I guess you have to tell the guys, hey, I know it's the holidays and Christmas break and all that stuff, but don't overdo it. Is that the thing you tell them when they head off in December?
Well, I guess a way to put it is think about when you were in school and you went home for Christmas break, what did you do? And we all kind of chuckled to ourselves. Well, you know, we used to, when I first started coaching, you kind of used the eye test. You know, when they left, you know what they look like. When they came back, you saw what they look like. And you could tell the guys that did what they were supposed to do and the guys that didn't. Now we have a lot of technology and things that we can do. And, you know, we take – you know, their fat masses and their lean muscle mass and all that stuff before they leave in a contraption called the bod pod. So they jump in the bod pod in late November, early December, and then they jump back in it in January. So any of those guys on the David Johnson, Sam Franco vacation plan, they show up pretty quick.
That's interesting. So let me ask you about, so what is that contraption and, like, what are you telling that they have to – I'm sure you have a baseline for every player. So, and I guess during the season, I don't know if it's as bad as, like, say, football or basketball, but what kind of weight or fat mass or body mass, like, what are the players' goals for that? Or is it – I'm sure it's different for each player, but how do you guys approach that?
Well, yeah, it is kind of different for each player, but you're looking for between 12 and 16% body fat, somewhere in there. And we've got some guys that are really, really lean. I mean, Stephen Wren was 4 or 5% body fat. And you need to put a little bit more body fat onto that. And he's done a good job now that he's been in pro ball and continued to add that. But, you know, you basically want to be in that range as much as possible. Some guys are going to be a little bit on top of it. Some guys are going to be a little bit below it. But it's just something to monitor, just to see where they are. And all these guys have goals. We have goals for them when they come in to gain weight. You know, maybe they come in at 185 and they want to get to 195. Okay, well, let's make sure we do it the right way. And if you're measuring it by bod pod and you see, okay, they gained 10 pounds, but they gained a bunch of fat mass, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for lean body mass, and we want their body fat to go down a little bit. So just a way to track how they're gaining weight and what their body composition looks like.
What do the majority of the players do during the season? Do they maintain? Do they lose? Do they gain? What would you say is the answer to that?
Well, your real goal, I mean, realistic goal is to maintain, because in the off season, your goal is to get as strong as you possibly can, maybe gain a few pounds to give yourself a buffer, and then try to maintain that as much as you can during the season. It's really tough when you play 56 games over a 4-month period. It's really difficult to gain weight because you're sweating so much, you're working so much, and when we get into April and May and June, it's so hot. These guys are sweating out a lot of their body weight. So, you know, our main goal is to try to maintain. We have a great nutrition program here. These guys always have something to eat. We're always monitoring their weight. They have to weigh in every single day. And we do lift twice during every week during the season. So they are lifting, they are eating, and we just try to keep track. And if someone's losing, you know, a week, it's not odd for a guy to come out and he's lost 6 pounds. We play 5 games. It's been hot. He sweats out a lot of stuff. He's lost 5 pounds, so we need to make sure that we try to put that back on over the next couple of weeks.
You know, that's interesting, too, where this is where schools in the SEC, I guess the bigger programs, are going to have a little bit of a built-in advantage over other schools where the budget's not the same. It's less where they have to – they finish a game and they each get a pizza when they step on the bus and that's their meal for the night. And that's not the case, as you know, maybe every once in a while for a Georgia, for a, you know, a school with a big budget, but you guys have an advantage, and I say you guys, the SEC, you know, the ACC, whatever you want to talk about, there are advantages in that as far as budget goes, and you can have a better coordinated meal after a game or a better coordinated pregame meal. I mean, is that true?
Yeah, there's no question, and you'll use Kent State as an example. It's my alma mater and certainly a mid-major and a place that I coached for 9 years. Our pregame meals a lot of time was that industrial size of Peter Pan peanut butter and a loaf of bread. There you go. Have yourself a pregame snack. And in here we have spreads for them. They come in, they have a full pregame meal. We have postgame meals for them. They have snacks. If you've, and I know everyone's noticed, if you're watching a game, whether it be a college, an SEC game or a big league game, players are now eating during the game. You see them in the dugout, and they're eating granola bars. They're eating fruit. There's always constantly something going into their system. And you know, when we played, you'd eat a hot dog before the game, not eat for 3.5 hours, and then eat McDonald's after the game. And that was pretty normal. And the nutrition, and kids are so much bigger and stronger and faster now, partly because of genetics and Mother Nature. We're all just getting bigger, but I think the nutrition has gotten so much better, and certainly in the SEC, we do have an advantage when it comes to that.
When you played in college, and maybe the MAC was maybe not the same as, say, like the SEC or whatever, but how would you compare college baseball now to what it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago? As far as, like, would you consider it like low level, single A? You know what I mean? I mean, how much more competitive is college baseball now when you're comparing it to one of the pro levels than it was back when, say, Derek Lilliquist and Chris Carpenter and those guys were playing for the Dogs?
Well, I think it's all just kind of grown each on each side. So look at professional baseball has gotten better and better and better. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster, but it's the same way in college baseball. So, I would say a really good college baseball league. So let's take the SEC. That's certainly A ball, maybe high A ball in the big league or in professional baseball. And I think it was that same way 20 years ago, but A ball wasn't as good as it is now. It's just continually gotten better. But to give you an example, Dustin Hermanson was a teammate of mine in college, and Dustin was 93, 94 and had a good slider, and he was the second overall pick in the draft in 1994. And, you know, we've got five guys in our staff that are doing that right now. And, yep. And it's just, you watch a big league game, every reliever is throwing 98 miles an hour. And 15 years ago, there might be one guy that you saw do that. I mean, you know, Mark Wallers would come in and throw 96, and everyone would go, wow, Mark Wallers is kind of a normal guy right now.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. The arm strengths have all increased. Everyone's gotten stronger. Bat speed's gotten faster. It just, everybody keeps getting bigger and stronger.
But I know velocity's not the only thing for a pitcher, but, like, at what point, if you're scouting a guy, at what would his velocity have to be for you to not even give him a look? You know what I mean? It's like, because it, like you're, it seems, because Jeff and I talk about this all the time, it seems like every, what you're saying, everybody throws 90 now. So what separates those guys?
Well, you know, a guy that's throwing 90 and there's no effort to it, let's just say I go out and watch a 16-year-old and it's 88 to 90 and there's zero effort. It's really loose and easy and, you know, got the rubber band arm and the breaking ball's got really hard, tight spin to it and he knows how to pitch. It's really safe to assume that, you know, a year, 2 years from now, that guy's going to be 93, 94 with that same loose arm action. And those are the guys that pro scouts really look for. If you're watching a guy throwing 90 and it's everything he's got, it's max effort, and it's 90 miles an hour, his ceiling's not going to be as high. It still is a guessing game. Cole Wilcox is here in college. I mean, if you didn't know the background on Cole Wilcox, you watch him as a junior in high school and say that guy is not showing up in college. But when you find out he's a 4.0 student and you find out that he wants to go to college, he loves Georgia, his mom and dad wanted him to go to school, every circumstance is different. But if you just go on the optics of watching someone throw a baseball and it's 94 and it's loose as a goose, that's a guy that a lot of times we're going to stay away from because there's a really good chance he's not showing up.
David Johnston, Sam Franco along with you, Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland joining us.
Coach, obviously making the NCAA tournament last year was a step further along in the process that you've started here at Georgia, and obviously expectations come when you make an NCAA tournament to, you know, be improved upon the next season. What do you think the hardest part, at least for you in terms of your approach, is and is going to be in trying to not only replicate the success of last season but improve upon it?
Well, to be honest with you, with this group, it hasn't been very difficult to motivate them, just because they were so upset with the way the season ended last year. They weren't satisfied with having a good year, which we did, but they weren't satisfied with that to a man. Every single guy was really disappointed, upset, chip on their shoulder. And, you know, from day one, these guys have worked extremely hard. And expectations are a good thing. I don't think that any of us want to work in an atmosphere when no one expects anything from you. And, you know, we were expected to build this program back to a national power. It's taken time. We knew it was going to take time. And, you know, I'm just glad everyone had the patience enough to let us do this and let this thing kind of develop. And, you know, now we feel like that we've got a chance to come back on the field in 4 weeks and be maybe better than we were last year. And that's exciting for all of us. But we've got a lot of work to do, but we like our team. We like the direction that everything's going, and we like the direction our program's going.
So I'm sure you're getting the normal questions about who will step up to replace, I guess, the power that you had last year with Curry and McGovern and Sasser. And what has your answer been to that?
Well, I think it's a collective effort. I don't think there's going to be one guy that steps up. I just think you're going to see Shunk and Shepard and Bradley and Meadows, Patrick Sullivan, Talley, all those guys collectively step up. And newcomers like Riley King, he's going to be a guy that people are going to know once we get into the season. He has really, really made a jump. A redshirt freshman like Connor Tate didn't play last year due to injury. We've got a transfer, John Cable, another transfer, Caden Fowler. You know, guys that people don't necessarily know, but we think collectively as a group that these guys can pick up that pace and maybe be a better offense than we were last year. We might not hit as many home runs, even though in the fall we hit more home runs than we did last year. It was kind of weird that we did that without those guys. But you know what? I think we've got a chance to be very good offensively. I think we're going to win and lose games on the mound. I think we're going to win and lose games with our defense. I think our pitching has a chance to be as good as it's ever been. I think our defense last year was a top 10 defense in the country. I think we're going to be better defensively than we were last year. So pitching and defense is going to be very, very good, and I think we have a chance to be very good offensively as well.
Talking with Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Coach, you know, one thing about the baseball season is it gets started, you know, so early in the year, much more so than, you know, Major League Baseball. In terms of, like, fan support and things like that, you know, do you maybe wish that it, you know, started a tad bit later just so y'all could get, you know, everything? Because it just feels like it hits you and kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you think about the northern teams, they all have to travel south and west to play. You know, their first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, they're just on the road. And, you know, we're fortunate enough that we get to host some home series, 3 out of our first 4 at home. But there's a chance it could be 65 and sunny, and there's a chance it could be 38 and, you know, spit and drizzle and snow. So you just don't know. But it is what it is. It's what we deal with. We have a national start date, February 15th. No one can play before that. There is talk of moving it back a little bit, but they're not going to move the season back. If they move our start date back, then that means they're going to condense our season, probably shorten it from 56 to 50 games. But the College World Series is not moving. I think we've talked about this before, but ESPN has the rights to the College World Series, I think, for 10 more years. And if you think about the summer, it goes the Women's College World Series, softball, Omaha, Men's College World Series, and then Wimbledon. ESPN has those rights, and that's their programming. ESPN's not changing. So Omaha, that date will not change, at least in the near future. And if there's any change at all, it'll be on the front end of the season. But I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Are there any other, like, on-field, off-field changes for the fans to look for this year?
A couple rules that will drive. I can tell you that I will probably have an early exit along with every coach in the country at some point. because there's a new rule that, and I don't know how this got enacted because none of us voted on this. I don't know where this came from. But if a batter gets hit by a pitch and the umpire rules that the batter intentionally let the ball hit him, it's now a strike. It's not, hey, stay here, that's a ball. It's a bad pitch. It's a ball. Stay here. It's a strike. So I want you to envision this. It's a 3-2 count, and a pitcher throws a slider that backs up a little bit, and the hitter just turns in a little bit almost to protect himself, but the umpire sees something move forward towards the ball. It's ball four, and he's going to get called out, strike three.
Ooh.
That's going to happen, and I'm going to lose my mind, and along with every other coach in the country. None of us are very happy about this. But that is going to be interesting to watch to see how that is interpreted. And I hope that umpires use common sense of, that's ball four, that's a terrible pitch, I am not going to call a strike on that. And I think we're all in agreement that's it's crazy. Now, I get the one that the guy is sticking his elbow out to get hit on purpose on an 0-2 pitch. Okay, I get that one. But let's use some common sense. And the other one, you know, Will Proctor's a little sad about this. The third to first move is now outlawed. Just like in the big leagues, you can no longer do the 31 pick, which made it really tough to steal bases when it was first and third. It made it really hard on that runner on first base to steal a base. So that move has now been outlawed, just like the big leagues.
Coach, I want to get back to the called strike on the intention or the letting yourself get hit by a pitch on purpose. Don't you think, you know, obviously there are the vast majority of coaches aren't going out there and telling their guys to get hit by a pitch, but I think mm-hmm. we'd be naive if we weren't saying that there are some coaches sure. out there that are telling, hey, yeah, go ahead and just lay in and get hit by that one. So the, you know, I guess the risk-reward or cost-benefit analysis there is like eliminating that from the game is, you know, it's important to the point of, you know, I guess the NCAA or the umpires and baseball trying to, you know, get that out of the game.
Yeah, no, I understand it. And there's a couple teams in our league that they just get right on top of the plate and they stick their elbow out and it drives you nuts. So as far as that goes, I'm okay with it as long as it's interpreted the right way, but it can be, and it's going to happen on a strike or a ball four, there's going to be a strike three called on a pitch that was definitely a ball. So I'm all for just being a little bit more strict on, you know what, the punishment, you just got hit by that pitch on purpose, you're not getting first base. It's a ball because we know it was a ball, but you're going to stay back in here. If you want to get hit by a pitch on purpose, go right ahead. But we're not going to give you first base if you do it on purpose. Instead of going the complete opposite direction of awarding a strike for it. Now, there are some guys that get hit by pitches on balls that are pretty close to being strikes. Those, you know, if it's a strike, it's a strike. But I just think they've gone a little bit too far, and I just hope it gets interpreted the right way. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a ball four. That's definitely ball four that gets called a strike at some point, and there's going to be some unhappy coaches.
Yeah, especially with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the scenario.
A game could end
on
happen. That. Yeah.
It could happen. And, you know, we all want our umpires, our referees, we want them to be invisible. And let's not put them into the game more. And I think that's what we're doing here. And I just hope that it doesn't put us in a really tough situation.
Man, the time has flown by. We ain't even gotten into specifics. We can do that again later. I know you've got to run. Always enjoy talking to you. One other thing I was going to say, Jeff and I, we got to do a better job helping you out with the replays, too. I don't think we had a good year last year.
0-10. I stopped looking at you guys. Every time I looked up, I'd see Jeff give the out call. Yeah, we got it right.
Yeah.
He comes out, and it's safe every time.
I know.
So
but we,
I think about halfway through the year, I just stopped. Well, I'm not asking him.
I'll volunteer.
Up there.
Coach, we got a TV in our booth. I'll volunteer.
We stand by. I think the umps had a bad year. I don't think it was us. I think it was the umps.
Well,
they had a bad year on their replay.
The other thing to keep in mind now, which I think will help, is now all games in the SEC, it's just like in football, they're going to be reviewed from Birmingham. So the umpire, the crew chief is going to put on the headset and talk to Birmingham, and they're going to tell them what they see. Instead of the umpires on the field that made the call, they don't have to overturn their
Thank
own
God.
Call.
So they don't have to walk, you know, all the way into our little, like, review thing like they had, and it would, like, waste time and stuff like that.
In conference games, that's correct. Now, non-conference, we won't have Birmingham. So when we're playing Clemson and Georgia Tech, it'll be what we've kind of gotten used to. If there's a play And in non-conference games, we can do out and safe at first base now. So we'll have instant replay for every game, at least every home game. When we go on the road, a team might not have the capability to do it, but we'll have instant replay for every game. Non-conference games, the umpires that are there will make the decision. But in the SEC, Birmingham will make that call, and I think that will help us get more of these right that we all look at and say, man, how can they not get that one? And sometimes it's that human element. You don't want to overturn your call.
That's the thing. That's what I tell people.
Yep.
Is the thing, like, I like that they're going to Birmingham because you're not asking an umpire to reverse a call that he just made.
Yes, there's no question. It's human nature. We don't like admitting we're wrong sometimes. And then if it's really, really close, I mean, I can see might be safe, but gosh, I can't tell for sure. Well, we're just going to stick with that call. Well, in Birmingham, you know, they're not invested in it. They're looking at it just like we are, and unbiased eyes, and they're seeing really good replays. And it should speed up a little bit because as soon as it happens, they're going to be watching the games. They're going to know replays going on. And, you know, we all like to think, even in football, why is this taking so long? We've already watched it. We know that there's other logistics in football. They got to set the clock. They got to put the place on the field. In baseball, it's just right or wrong. So
yeah.
I think our calls should be, just like in the big leagues, a lot of times those calls, they happen a little bit quicker than and certainly what they were.
Before I let you go, so we said 4 weeks from today, what's the schedule for you guys, you know, daily schedule now leading up to the season?
Well, we just had a nice morning run. We had a little 6:30 a.m. Refreshing run.
Oh, yeah, those are awesome.
Field. Yeah, a little morning workout, got them out of bed. And we'll have individual workouts later on in the day today. So hitters and pitchers will be working out individually. And we do that all next week. You know, Monday's an off day, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, more individuals. We'll do some live batting practice on the field to get our hitters used to seeing some velocity. And then Friday, we start for real. Friday's the first day of real practice. We'll have an inner squad that day, probably three or four innings. And that's Saturday and Sunday. We'll probably play seven innings on Saturday and Sunday next weekend. So we got to get our pitch counts up with our pitchers, hopefully get those starters up to around 80 to 90 for opening day. And we've got 4 weeks to build that up.
Are those inner squads, can the fans come in and watch?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, always open.
Always open. Love that. Yep. Absolutely love it. Scott, great talking to you. It's got me fired up. Can't believe we're getting closer and closer. We will definitely check you out and talk to you before then, but we'll look forward to our Thursday morning chats during the season as well. Thanks so much, Scott.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.